great. We honor you this morning. We've seen your hand move among us. We've heard the testimony of your goodness, Father. You are great, mighty, and awesome. And we honor you. Amen. Thank you so much, worship team. Awesome job. Don't they do an awesome job every week? An awesome job, Scott. Hey, we'll keep you on for another week. just before I continue with the word, Helen had a word of knowledge from the Lord. And Helen, if you would just come up quickly and just share what the Lord showed you.
A wonderful move of God. It was like a breeze coming over this congregation, and I actually felt it. And it was like a healing wave that was coming in amongst us. And the word that I got was in the stomach area, the liver or the pancreas area, that's where God wanted to touch people. If you have a problem in that area, the pastors are willing to pray for you. There is a release of healing in this place. And it's, and this is just the beginning. I feel in my spirit this is just the beginning. There is such an openness, and you people are entering into a more praise than ever before. And that touches the heart of God. And so there's going to be healing and healing expected. I just sense. So I'll leave that with you. Prayer.
Amen. Amen. So if you have an issue, is there anyone that has an issue? I want you to stand right where you are. And this is what we're going to do. I want you who are in the area near these people just to lay your hands on them. And we're going to declare, we're going to pray and believe God for healing right now. And we believe God speaks. We believe his word. Amen. We believe his written word, and we believe his spoken word. So, Father, we thank you for your word to us this morning. Lord, we thank you. We've seen testimony already of your great power at work among us. Father, you are the God that heals us. And so, Father, in the authority that we have in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we declare healing over these people right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Every abdominal problem healed, whether it's stomach, pancreas, kidney, Lord, we declare healing over these bodies now in Jesus' name. By his power and by his stripes, we are healed, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Now release your healing anointing through your dear children right now in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. You know why he's good? Because he's God. That works too. Okay. That's his nature. It is who he is. Amen. So last week we looked at the invitation of Jesus Christ to live a life to its fullest potential, a real life that has power to influence eternal destinies. And we learned that that life is accessed through putting our faith in Jesus Christ. I love what Dietrich Bonhoeffer said. I want you to hear this. This is so excellent. He said, "Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God." Isn't that so good? Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. And so this morning, we're going to continue with our series, Focused Faith, and we're going to look at the foundation needed on which to build our faith. And I've titled this talk, The Foundation of Faith. And I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 1 to 6, but just before we do that, I just want to give you tell you about Hebrews 1 to 10 very quickly. As you read through the book of Hebrews, you'll discover that the author, he is relentless in his effort to reveal the absolute excellency of Christ. The overarching theme, I would say, is Jesus Christ is greater and better than any other thing. He's greater than better than everything else. Amen? In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, we read that the Son, which is Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after he had provided purification for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. He is greater than the angels. In fact, verse 6 says that all God's angels worship him. He is our sensitive high priest. He humbled himself and he became like us. Man, that's just stunning if you stop and think about that. But he humbled himself and he became like us. So he is able to sympathize with our weakness. And in every respect, he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So we can come to him with confidence today and find grace in our time of need, because he is our sensitive high priest. He is the great high priest who paid the price for our sins with his shed blood. He fulfilled the law, and he is the final sacrifice for sin. No other sacrifice is needed. The old covenant is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And God made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And because of his sacrifice, all of those who put their faith in him are given the privilege of becoming sons and daughters of God. He tasted death so we could live. He came and he died once to take away the sins of the world. But when he comes again, and he is coming again, and when he comes again, it will not be to take away sin, but he will come to bring all of those who have been faithfully waiting for him to be with him forever. And what a day that's going to be. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. And he has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so we can say with absolute confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. The author of Hebrews, through those first 10 chapters, is calling believers to stand and persevere in their faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, Hebrews 10, verse 39 ends with this verse. He says, but we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And then we come to Hebrews chapter 11. Father, I pray as we look at these verses that you, by your Holy Spirit, would illuminate them to us in fresh and new ways, that you would strengthen our foundations, Father, that you would adjust whatever needs to be adjusted, that you would build what needs to be built, and Father, you would strengthen what needs to be strengthened. But Father, we, when we leave from this place, we will know beyond a shadow of a doubt who it is and what it is that our faith is founded in. In Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen and amen. So, I already asked you to turn to Hebrews 6, didn't I? Or Hebrews 11, did I? I should turn there myself then. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 6. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for, and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offering, and by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. There's so much that's just packed into those first six verses that I'm unable to unpack this morning. But you know what? You can do that in your life group. Because you're all part of a life group, right? And if you're not, you should be. But in verse 6a, we read, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." The author doesn't say without faith it's difficult. He doesn't say it's maybe a little bit harder. He says without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith, there is no capacity for communion, relationship, or intimacy with God. Without faith, Spurgeon went on to so far as to say, without faith, or the want or the absence of faith, destroys all prospects of love. That's powerful when you think about it, because God is love. And if we have no faith, there is no prospect of love. He went on to say, unbelief takes away the common ground upon which God and man can meet. So without faith, there's absolutely no capacity for relationship, love, or intimacy with God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God because faith honors God. Amen? There's no substitute for faith this morning. There's absolutely no substitute for faith. Plain and simple, if we want the life that Christ offers, we are to build our lives on a foundation of faith. What really raises another question, what is this thing we call faith? What is it? What does it look like? Well, Hebrews 11 verse 1 says this. It tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for, in the assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Man, I don't know about you, but I hope for a lot of things. I hope for a lot of things. But this is where we can get mixed up a little bit. The author of Hebrews is not talking about confidence in my sincerity for something. For example, I hope I can get a new car. I don't see my new car yet, but I hope and I believe, honey, you're listening, right? I hope and I believe that I will get a new car, or I'll how about that supercharger for my Mustang? I hope and I believe that I'm going to get a supercharger for my Mustang. I hope and I believe I will get a new car. And if I work up enough faith, if I believe hard enough that I'm going to get a new car, it will happen. But if it doesn't happen, I must not have had enough faith. Now, don't misunderstand me. God blesses us as we bring our needs to him. And if you need a new car, go ahead and ask him for it. But faith is not rooted in my sincerity for something. Nor is faith rooted in the power of a positive confession. You know that? Faith is not rooted in the power of a positive confession. Having a positive confession is a good thing, but I can say all kinds of good things, but that's not the foundation of my faith. Nor is faith the confidence in the sincerity of my behavior. For example, you know, I've always tried to do what's right. I've always tried to live a good life. I've always, you know, tried to be a good person. And so, of course, things are going to work out. Of course God will accept me. Of course I will go to heaven because I'm a good person. I've always tried to be kind, and I've always tried to give to causes that helps people, and that's good, right? Faith is not confidence in the sincerity of my behavior. The faith the author of Hebrews is talking about is not confidence in something. It is confidence in someone. It's a big difference. It's not confidence in something or some behavior or some confession. It is confidence in someone. Amen? It is confidence and hope in Jesus Christ. It is confidence in what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will yet do. Amen? It is confidence in Christ Jesus. I love what the psalmist said in Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. He says, "The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord." I love that. The steps of a good person are ordered by the Lord. As we put our faith in Jesus, our life, our path, our present, and our future is blazed out by God. And if we trip, if we stumble, if we fall, if we make a mistake, he's there, and the Lord upholds us with his strong right hand. Amen? Because he is faithful. And that's where the author of Hebrews is saying, confidence is in what we hope for. God said, "I will never leave you or forsake you. I know the plans I have for you to bless you, not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope." Without confidence in Jesus Christ, you know what's left? Without confidence in Jesus Christ, the only thing that is left is mistrust and unbelief, making it impossible for God to find pleasure in us. Because belief, faith, honors God, but unbelief dishonors God. Because ultimately, with unbelief, we say, "We don't trust you, God. We don't believe you. We don't believe anything about you. We don't trust your character. We don't trust your word. We don't trust anything you say." That's why without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, we're saying, "I don't believe in Jesus Christ. I don't believe what he's done for me. I don't believe that by faith in him, I can come into his presence. I don't believe anything you've done for me." We may believe that there's a God, but without faith in Jesus, the only thing that's left is unbelief, making it impossible for God to find pleasure in us, because unbelief completely and totally dishonors God. Unbelief says, "We do not believe you, and we do not trust you." Plain and simple. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Our hope is in Jesus. It's in Jesus and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will yet do, because he who promised is faithful. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Goes on to say, faith is the assurance about what we do not see. I love verse 2. It says, "This is what the ancients were commended for." You know, we may not see Jesus. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't see Jesus standing right in front of me. We may not see Jesus, but we do see the visible impact faith has made in the lives of those who have gone ahead of us. Amen? By faith, this is what the ancients were commended for. And then it goes, by faith, we have confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And it says, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. We know that the universe formed by his word. But I love how Romans 1:20 puts it. He says, God's eternal power and character cannot be seen. But from the beginning of creation, God has shown us what these are like by all that he has made. And what we may not see him, but we can see what he has done. We can see how faith manifests in the lives of others. We can look at creation and we can see God's handiwork. We can see his goodness and his character through all of creation. We see the effect of faith through those who have gone ahead of us. By faith in God and his character and in his goodness, Abraham was called to a place, to go to a place, even though he did not know where he was going, he obeyed. Because his faith isn't what was lying ahead. His faith is what he could not see. It was in Christ Jesus. Amen? By faith in God, Moses led the people out of Egypt, led them out of slavery. And then what happens? They come to the Red Sea. Their enemy is pursuing them. The Red Sea in front of them, no way to go forward. Their enemies behind them, no way of retreat. When they could not see a way, they couldn't see a way forward, they couldn't see a way backward, they couldn't see any other way. When they could not see a way, by faith in God, God opened the way, and they passed through on dry ground, and their enemies were destroyed. Amen? Faith in God opens the way through things we cannot see. It opens the way through impossible challenges. When we can't see the way, he makes a way. Amen? I got an amen. I got an amen. Hallelujah. God, faith in God opens ways through impossible challenges. And when we can't see the way, he makes a way. By faith, this is so awesome. You'll love this. By faith in Jesus Christ and in his word, Ralph Byma quit his job as a mechanic to start pastoring, a job that initially did not come with a paycheck. He quit his job that had a good paycheck to take a job that had no paycheck. People thought he was crazy. People told him he was insane, not sure of a future he was facing, not sure of what was ahead, not sure he could not necessarily see. But Ralph and Deb obeyed God because they knew who the character of him who they were obeying. And they obeyed God, and the rest is history. And Ralph and his family never lacked. Amen? Faith is the assurance about what we do not see. Because our faith isn't based on what we see. Our faith is based in a person. His name is Jesus Christ. Our faith is based in the character and nature of Jesus Christ. Our faith is based in the nature and character of God. And our God is a good God. Why? Because that is his nature. Amen? Our faith is not based in something. Our faith is not based in the power of a positive confession. Our faith is not based on the sincerity of my behavior. My faith is based on the character and the nature of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? And he's the one who said, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's the one that laid down his life so that we might have life and that life more abundantly. Amen? He's the one that stepped out of eternity and inserted his life into our life. He became like us so that we could be lifted up and become as him in terms of sons and daughters of the Most High God. Amen? That's who we're placing our faith in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He promises never to leave us or forsaken us. And he has given us his Holy Spirit, his very Spirit, to lead us and to guide us. He will take care of us. Amen. Faith is confidence in Jesus Christ. It is confidence in what we hope for. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Amen. He has our life. He has our future secure. He will take care of us. We have a city with foundations to look forward to. Amen. The writer of Hebrews says that. And we have a city with foundations in. I wondered why. Why did they put that word foundations in there? We have a city with foundations. It tells me this isn't just an abstract city. This is a real city. This city has foundations. Amen. It is a real place. We have a real place. We have a real future to look forward to. Amen. A city on a hill, a real future to look forward to, whose architect and builder is God himself. Amen. Faith is confidence in Jesus Christ, who has our life and future secure. In Revelations 19, we read something powerful. John saw Jesus. And you know what he saw? He saw Jesus. And on his thigh, he had written, faithful and true. Faithful and true. Faith finds its confidence on or in the reliability of what is believed. I want you to hear that again, because this is so powerful. Faith finds its confidence in the reliability of what is believed. He is called faithful and true. Amen. He is called faithful and true. That tells me I can put my faith in him, because he is absolutely reliable, and my faith has confidence. Because if faith finds its confidence in or the right reliability of what's believed, there is no one more reliable than him who is called faithful and true. Amen. Verse 6b of Hebrews 11 adds, anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Now, I wonder why he put it at verse 6 and not verse 1. But I got to think that this is so important, because in times of trial, Satan will do what he can to get you to doubt God's existence. Anybody relate to that? He will do what he can do to get you to doubt God's existence. And then if he can't get you to doubt God's existence, he will get you to doubt God's goodness, his love and his goodness. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me, all this bad stuff must be happening to me because God is punishing me. It seems easy to believe that God wants to punish us. It seems easy to believe that God is looking for ways to punish us, you know. We love that verse, he disciplines those he loves, and we take that and twist it all up. So God must love me because he's punishing me. You know? Satan will do what he can to get you to doubt God's existence. And if he can't get you to doubt God's existence, he will work on you to get you to doubt his love and his goodness. Faith finds its confidence on or in the reliability of what is believed. I believe, and here's the confession. I believe in God the Father Almighty and in his Son. I believe in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Not some abstract idea of God, not some mystical, omnipotent being that's unapproachable, not some distant God who's looking for ways to punish me or to hurt me. I believe in God the Father Almighty, who sent his Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who died for me and gave his life for me so that I could come into relationship with him and be set free, who loves me and cares for me. I believe in God the Father Almighty and in Jesus Christ, his Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came and died for me. That's our confession. That is the foundation of our faith. That's our confession today, and we need to tell ourselves over and over and over again, I believe in God the Father who loved me and sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me, to set me free. When I believe it, not just have it as a concept, but when I believe it, when I believe Jesus Christ, God loves me, when I believe he sent his Son for me, it changes everything. And I can come into his presence with confidence. Now, I know you guys get this, but this is the foundation of our faith. And I meet so many people who are still struggling with the fact, yeah, I believe in God, but he's punishing me. I don't know. He doesn't have his good for me. That's not the God I believe in. That's not the God of the Bible. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the one who created all of this, the one in whom his attributes are revealed. I believe in the God who sent his Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to give his life for me. And as I put my faith in him, there's nothing else that's needed for me to come and have access to my Heavenly Father, because Jesus Christ paid the price once and for all. There is no other sacrifice there that is needed. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and died for me. Amen? I believe. Not some abstract idea of God, but in Jesus Christ. I believe in the one who is faithful and true. And I believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Amen? And this is so important because this has to do with God's character and his goodness. I believe, as his word teaches, he is a good God. Pastor Dunson says that every week he says, he's a good God. That's his nature, and there's nothing he can do about it. It is his nature. He is a good God who loves and cares for us and has nothing but the best of intentions in his heart for you and for me. I know the plans I have for you, to bless you, to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. He has nothing but the best of intentions in his heart for you and for me. Amen? Jesus said it like this in Matthew 7. He says, would any of you give your hungry child a stone? If a child asked for some bread, would you give your child a snake? If a child asked for a fish, as bad as you are. I mean, when I read that, of course not. Like, what a crazy illustration. And he says, as crazy as that illustration is, listen to this. As bad as you are, you still know how to give gifts to your children. But your Heavenly Father is even more ready to give good things to people who ask. Amen? So my confidence now isn't in having to pump up some kind of faith, you know? Get a faith pump, screw it in. Pump, I got lots of faith I can believe now. So I'm believing for that whatever it is, and I have lots of faith. No. My faith is in Jesus Christ, who loves me. My faith is in my Father, who wants to, has nothing but his good intentions. So I can come to him now with all confidence. I'll tell you a little story. When I was growing up, I didn't come from a wealthy family. I came from a secure, loving family. It wasn't a wealthy family. And I remember I think I was 12 or 13, and I wanted this this red bike. Red bike, red Mustang. There's a theme here. I really wanted this. I had found it in the newspaper, and it was a nice red chassis. Had the nice white banana seat. Anybody remember banana seats? Oh, I just realized I am really dating myself right now. And the nice high handlebars. Yeah. It was nice. And I remember I didn't want to ask my earthly father for it, because I just knew we didn't have a lot of money. And so I went on my knees, and I'll never forget this. I went on my knees. I said, Father, if I know I don't need this. I remember doing this as a kid. I know I don't need this, and I know, but if it's at all possible, could I get that bike? And I remember as a kid, I prayed that way, and I just trusted him. I absolutely just trusted him. I left it with him, and I said, if that's okay, then make it happen. And as a kid, I had confidence in him, because I had a good earthly father who taught me what a heavenly father was like, and I just left it with him. You know what? 2 weeks later, that bike was in my dad went out and bought it for me, and I went, wow, thank you, Lord. And I learned something in that moment that I've never forgotten. I've learned that God is a good God who wants to bless, and I can put my confidence in him. Amen? Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Our hope is in Jesus. And the assurance of but what we do not see. Sometimes I don't know. Sometimes I can't see, you know? But this I know. He does. Where I can't see, he does, amen? Because he's got my footsteps ordered. He's blazed the path before me. The steps of a good man are ordered by God. He has blazed my steps. I can't see. When God called us to step into the ministry, I couldn't see except to take one step at a time. And I got to stand in the pulpit as the Holy Spirit fell in revival. I'll never forget that. I couldn't see that happening. I didn't know where to go. I didn't even know where I was going to get paid. I quit a job. I had just been offered, get this. Now you're going to really think I'm crazy, because I was just offered. I had been hunted, and another shop in town wanted to hire me and dangled a $100,000 salary in front of my face. Oh, you tell me I didn't wrestle with that one. So that was back in the 90s. We took a step of faith in confidence in Jesus Christ. Couldn't see. Didn't know where it was going to go. All we know is to take a step. But my confidence was in the one who could see. Amen? My confidence is the one who has blazed our trail. The one, our faith is in the confidence in the one who loves me and has nothing but a good plan for me. I may not see Jesus, but I know he sees me, and he will lead and guide us through whatever circumstance we face. Amen? My faith is in, my confidence is in what we hope for, our hope. Is in Jesus Christ, in the assurance about what we do not see. I may not see him in the moment, but he sees me, and I have confidence in him. Amen? Let me close with this one last verse. It's found in Acts, and Peter is explaining how the lame man was healed. And this is what he declares. By faith, And I touched this one because there's so many feelings around healing. If I only had more faith, if God didn't heal me, I must not have had enough faith. Well, that makes faith into something I need to work up or something. Listen to what Peter said. He says, by faith, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, by faith in his name, this man who you now see was made strong. It is Jesus' name and faith that comes through him that has completely healed him. And you can all see it. Amen? It is faith in Jesus Christ. I trust him. I trust him to lead me. I trust my life into his hands. I trust him even though I can't see, even though I don't understand. I know that he does. Amen? Faith is not sincerity in something. Faith is not sincerity in my actions or my behavior. Faith is trust and complete confidence in Jesus Christ, that he will continue to do what he always does. It's faith in what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. And I tell you, church, it has revolutionized the way I live. Because I know I can trust him. I know I can have complete confidence in him. When I travel, when I pray for the sick, it's changed the way I pray for the sick. I'm not trying, oh God, would you heal? My prayers have become very, very simple. And I've seen so much evidence in terms of miracles happen. My prayers are so simple, they go like this. In Jesus' name, faith in him, be healed. Not in anything else. Faith in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I reached to a man in a wheelchair. In Jesus' name, rise up and walk. And you know what happened? Just like in the Bible. It was incredible. He rose up and walked. I'll never forget it. Girl blind. In Jesus' name, eyes be opened. Not me. In Jesus' name, and in faith in Jesus' name, eyes be opened. And they were. In Jesus' name, ears be opened. And they were. And this young lady goes out in a community in India. Next thing you know, the whole community comes in to find out who this Jesus is. Faith is confidence in what we hope for. Our hope is in Jesus Christ and in nothing else. It is not about me trying to work something up. It is not confidence in something or some behavior. It is confidence in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Father, if the worship team can come forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Such a good God. You have nothing but the best of intentions. And you call us to put our confidence in you. I was just thinking, Luke chapter 5. The disciples were in a boat. And Jesus was walking by on the water. Peter goes, if that's you, call me. Jesus says, it's me. Hey, Peter, come. And in obedience to the word of Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus, Peter got out of the boat. And what happened? He walked on water. The moment he took his eyes off of Jesus, what happened? He sank. It's faith in Jesus Christ that enables us to walk in the place of victory. Amen? Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the life that you have called us to live. Father, thank you that we can put our confidence in Jesus Christ. Faith finds its confidence in the reliability of what is believed. You, Jesus, are faithful and true. And we can put our confidence in you without hesitation, without doubt, without wondering, because you are faithful and true. You proved it the day you gave your life for us to set us free. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you that we can have confidence in Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Our confidence, our assurance, is the confidence we have in what we hope for. Our hope is in you, Jesus. We exalt you. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, very quickly, if you're here and you've never asked Jesus, you've never given your life to him, I want to encourage you this morning, if that's you, you can do that this morning. First of all, you need to acknowledge that he exists, that he is the Son of God who came and died, and he died for you. And then secondly, acknowledge that you need him, that you need him to forgive your sins so that you can come and have a relationship with the living God. If that's you this morning, just raise your hand right where you are and I want to pray with you. Okay, I don't see any hands going up, so I trust that you've all done that. Then I just want to continue to encourage you. Put your confidence in Jesus Christ. Amen. The author and the finisher of our faith. Let's all stand together. And this morning, I want to open up the altar. If you still need any prayer this morning, there will be